Today's Food for the Journey will be a classic reflection of today's readings.
Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. Today, as we usually do, we look ahead to the readings of this Sunday, the fourth Sunday of Easter, or as it's often commonly known as Good Shepherd Sunday. On this Good Shepherd Sunday, says Magnificat magazine, the risen Christ consoles us. My sheep hear my voice. They follow me. What fills Christ's disciples with joy and the Holy Spirit is this voice, which is identical with life. Like the converts whom Paul and Barnabas urged to remain faithful to the grace of God, our happiness depends on our fidelity to the grace that keeps us sensitive, aware, and disposed to the tender voice of the shepherd. For this shepherd is also the Lamb who lives to wipe away every tear from our eyes. Let me repeat that. This shepherd is also the Lamb who lives to wipe every tear from our eyes. God does want to help us. We get so caught up in God doesn't care because God doesn't do what I want. But what God is doing absolutely the best thing for us. He recognizes our need, and he knows what is most going to lead us safely home to him. That's who God is. He's going to bring us safely home to him. So when things don't go your way, when God doesn't answer the prayer you want answered the way you want it answered, go to him. Don't fight him. He's the source of life for you. Don't fight him. Go to him and say, Lord, I don't understand. But obviously, I don't see things as clearly as you do. Teach me, help me, show me. I'm not going to follow a God who doesn't answer my prayer. Don't do that. Don't do that. We are so small compared to the greatness of God. And by that, I mean God sees and knows everything. And he knows, absolutely knows, what is the best thing for us at any given moment. We want to come to trust the Good Shepherd. Trust him. The Acts of the Apostles, chapter 13, verse 14, and then verses 43 to 52. Paul and Barnabas continued on from Perga and reached Antioch in Pisidia. On the Sabbath, they entered the synagogue and took their seats. Many Jews and worshippers who were converts to Judaism followed Paul and Barnabas, who spoke to them and urged them to remain faithful to the grace of God. So they're scattered now all over, and it's hard to be scattered. They want to be with one another, but God is blessing them enormously. There's much difficulty, persecution, but there's also many, many people coming to believe in Jesus Christ. On the following Sabbath, almost the whole city gathered to hear the word of the Lord. Wouldn't that be something in your city if the whole city gathered to hear the word of the Lord? Pray for it. Work for it. When the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy and with violent abuse, contradicted what Paul said. So, once again, we're back to what we spoke about last week and earlier this week. It's pride, it's jealousy that so blinds us and so deafens us that we can no longer hear the truth. Never make decisions out of blindness. That is out of jealousy. Never make decisions when you're in that spot where you're just filled with jealousy. Don't make decisions then. They'll always be wrong. They will. Even though you think they're perfectly clear, they'll be wrong. If jealousy, pride, arrogance, all that kind of stuff has invaded our soul, you need to get right with God to be able to hear the truth and hear it clearly. So when the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy and with violent abuse, contradicted what Paul said. Both Paul and Barnabas spoke out boldly and said, "It was necessary that the word of God be spoken to you first. But since you reject it," these are the Jews, "but since you reject it and condemn yourselves as unworthy of eternal life, we now turn to the Gentiles. For so the Lord has commanded us, 'I have made you a light to the Gentiles that you may be an instrument of salvation to the ends of the earth.'" The Gentiles were delighted when they heard this and glorified the word of the Lord. All who were destined for eternal life came to believe. That is, their hearts were open. That's what makes you destined for eternal life, is that you long for Jesus, you want it, you're open to his word. And the word of the Lord continued to spread throughout the whole region. The Jews, however, incited the women of prominence who were worshipers and the leading men of the city and stirred up a persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them from their territory. So what'd they do? Did they rage against them? Did they shake their fists at them? No, it says they shook the dust from their feet. In other words, "We want no more of you," in protest against them. And went to Iconium. The disciples were filled with joy and the Holy Spirit. They just walked away. They didn't fight. They didn't attack because they knew that they couldn't hear. They were too filled with jealousy and pride. But I'll bet among them were several who were actually kind of questioning. I wonder what happened to them. When you get to heaven, we'll know that. When we get to heaven, we'll be able to see all of that, see the wonder of it. Psalm 100, "We are his people, the sheep of his flock." We are his people. You have a good shepherd. You have someone who loves you, someone who cares for you, someone who wants to guide you to eternal life. You're not alone. You have a shepherd. You're not wandering aimlessly unless you refuse to hear him. You have a shepherd who will guard your life with his own life and lead you safely home. "We are his people," says Psalm 100, "the sheep of his flock. Sing joyfully to the Lord. Know that the Lord is God. The Lord is good. His kindness endures forever. His faithfulness to all generations." And the second reading is taken from the book of Revelation 7, verse 9, and then verses 14 to 17. "I, John, had a vision of a great multitude which no one could count from every nation, race, people, and tongue. They stood before the throne and before the Lamb wearing white robes and holding palm branches in their hands. And then one of the elders said to me, 'These are the ones who have survived the time of great distress. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. For this reason, they stand before God's throne and worship him day and night in his temple. The one who sits on the throne will shelter them. They will not hunger or thirst any more, nor will the sun or any heat strike them. For the Lamb who is in the center of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to springs of life-giving water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. This is your good shepherd, who if you stumble and fall, will pick you up and carry you in his arms if you will let him, who keeps away every evil, who provides you with food. Trust him." And the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verses 27 to 30. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me." Could Jesus say that about you? "You are my sheep, you're my lamb, you hear my voice, I know you, and you follow me." That's what you want. You want God to be able to say that of you. You want to draw as close to him as you can. "I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish." Hear that. This is the promise of eternal life, brothers and sisters, if we follow the Lamb wherever he goes, if we commit ourselves to him. "He who shed his blood for you and for me." Can we not trust him? No one can take them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one can take them out of the Father's hand, for the Father and I are one. You see what Jesus is doing here? He's trying, well, he is doing, it's us trying to hear. He is showing us that we are safe when we are close to God, that we will be led in the right direction, that we will be fed. Remember all that I said about the Eucharist earlier this week? If you can't get to Eucharistic celebration, at least make a spiritual communion every day. You'd be amazed at how that opens your heart to receive more from God. So God wants to feed us. He wants to direct us. Are we willing to follow him? Or are we like most shepherds will talk about, there's always one in the fold. There is always one who's always going off on his own direction. Then he gets trapped. You see some of those poignant little holy cards when the sheep is halfway down the side of the mountain and he's hanging onto a branch just because he got lodged there. And the shepherd is trying to rescue him, and his life is in jeopardy in whether he can reach the lamb and get him before either the stick breaks or he himself falls. Jesus will go to all lengths to save you. For heaven's sakes, don't be so stubborn. Let yourself be saved by him. Come to him. You can fall down the precipice and be lost. Jesus is always reaching out, always seeking to save, always wanting to help us. And he will feed us, and he will bring us by streams of fresh water. He restores my soul. Surely goodness and kindness shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord for years to come, eternally. This image of the Good Shepherd is one of the most powerful images of how Jesus tries to take care of us. There's a book written by a Protestant author that I mentioned, I know, in this program some years ago. It's entitled, A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23. A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23. And the book is written by a man whose name is Philip Keller, K-E-L-L-E-R. He's a Protestant and an actual shepherd, both in South Africa and in Canada. And he applies what he learned of taking care of sheep to Psalm 23. It might be something you want to check out on Amazon or in a good Christian bookstore. See if you can get hold of a copy of it. It's really worthwhile, and I think it will show you how deeply the Lord, in giving you this image of the shepherd and the lamb, showing you how tenderly, how personally, how comprehensive is his care for you. Brothers and sisters, you are never alone. Even in the darkest moments, you are never alone. Please put your trust in the Good Shepherd. Draw near to him. Feed on the Eucharist. Drink from the chalice of salvation. Draw as near to him as you can, that you may be a true witness of his power and his presence. God bless you. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.